From the John L. Santikos studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In a few minutes, we're going to hear about the new book, America First, Roosevelt versus Lindbergh in the Shadow of War. But first, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has been barnstorming across Texas. The independent who caucuses with the Democrats in the Senate says Texas is flippable on Election Day, November 5th. I spoke to Sanders about that.
I'm going to try to do, not only in Texas, but around the country, everything that I can to see that Kamala Harris becomes our next president. I think that Kamala has an outside chance of winning Texas. If she wins Texas, she will become the next president, and I'm going to do what I can to make that happen.
So not only would she become president, but it would be crippling for the Republican Party as we know it to lose Texas. Why hasn't more resources been dedicated to try to make that happen?
Well, that is a very good question. I happen to think politically there is huge potential here in Texas. I think the Democratic Party can do a lot better job in mobilizing people and registering than they have. But again, I think there is a lot of potential here in Texas. I think we have 5 weeks to go. I think she has a shot to win, and I'll do what I can to make that happen.
One of the issues that makes Texas tough to win is the fact that the Voting Rights Act has been crippled. If things go well in November and there is a Democrat in the White House and the Democrats control the House and the Senate, what does it look like to get a Voting Rights Act passed?
Look, I would hope that everybody, regardless of their political views, wants to defend the foundations of American democracy. And at the essence of what democracy is about is one person, one vote. Obviously, we want to make sure that elections are clean, they are not corrupt, and we have to do everything we can to make that happen. But on the other hand, we cannot and must not develop policies which make it hard or impossible for people to vote because they're people of color, they're young, they're disabled. We want to encourage people to vote. That's called democracy. So I think we have to make it very clear as a nation that we're going to do everything we can to protect voting rights. Second of all, and related to that, and again, regardless of your political views, I hope one believes that you're not a real democracy if billionaires are able to buy elections. And as a result of the disastrous Citizens United Supreme Court decision, what we have seen and are seeing right this moment are billionaires in both political parties putting in huge amounts of money to elect the candidates they like and to defeat the candidates they don't like. So I worry very much that this country is moving in an oligarchic direction where power, increasingly economic and political, rests with the hands of very, very wealthy people. And again, as a nation, we can have our different points of view. We can disagree. That's democracy. But I don't think we should tolerate billionaires buying elections.
But getting a Voting Rights Act passed would require busting through the filibuster. The filibuster has been used over the decades in order to maintain segregation and, all sorts of bad things about voting rights in the South. Isn't it time that was flipped on its head?
I think so. Look, I think I can tell you as a member of the United States Senate that if any one person wants to come up and object, and you need 60 votes to overcome that, you can delay the process. You can deny the will of the public. So I happen to believe that we should have democracy in the Senate as well and real debate, and we're not seeing that right now.
Right now we're seeing Americans really dealing with tragedy as a hurricane and then Tropical Storm Helene cut through parts of the United States. The FEMA and the Biden administration is trying to get them results and support right now. But what are your thoughts right now about Helene?
I'll tell you what my thoughts are. Helene is a tragedy, and obviously all of our hearts go out to the people in North Carolina, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, who have been devastated, and the families that are dealing with well over 100 people who are dead. But let us be clear. It's not just Hurricane Helene, which is the worst storm to have ever hit those areas in a very, very long time, take a hard look at what's happening all over our country and, in fact, all over the world. Midwest, suffering drought. All of us remember the terrible forest fires taking place in the West Coast and in Canada. Unprecedented heat waves in Europe, floods in China displaced millions of people. And one of the key factors in this campaign that is not getting the attention that it deserves is the need to understand that climate change is real. And unless we get a handle by cutting carbon emissions, what you're seeing right now in North Carolina, it's only going to get worse in years to come. We need international cooperation to cut carbon emissions. And one of the differentiating realities of this campaign, the differences between the candidates, Donald Trump, believe it or not, despite what all of the scientists say, what people are seeing with their own eyes, Donald Trump thinks that climate change is a hoax. It is not a hoax. And if Trump gets elected, the fight against climate change to protect our kids and future generations is basically over, and that would be a real tragedy.
Polling tells us that this election could be extremely close, and Donald Trump could actually win. That's still within the realm of possibility, and that would be because working-class voters, rural voters, voted a Republican, and they supported Trump despite some of the terrible things that he has said and done over the years. Why does you think he has such a grip on these people who...
I'll tell you why. That's a very good question, and I will tell you why. I think that to a large degree, it is not primarily Trump. It is the failure of the Democratic Party to stand up vigorously and protect the working class of this country. Look, today we have more income and wealth inequality than we have ever had. 60% of our people are living paycheck to paycheck. We're the only major country on earth not to guarantee health care to all people as a human right. Our child care system is a disaster. You have large corporations who can shut down tomorrow and move to China and Mexico. People are hurting. Working class people are hurting. And in my view, and I speak as the longest serving independent in the history of the United States Congress, Democrats have not done enough to stand up for the working class. Now, on the other hand, the Republicans are even worse. I brought forth an effort to raise the minimum wage a couple of years ago to all of $15 an hour. Didn't get one Republican to support it. In our committee, we did pass a bill called the PRO Act, which would make it easier for workers to join unions. I didn't get one Republican supporting that. Republicans do not believe in universal health care. In fact, they want to cut the Affordable Care Act. I believe in Medicare for all. So what you have, I think, is a lot of dissatisfaction on the part of working people who are struggling to pay their bills. They look to the Democrats. The Democrats have not done enough. And we've got to significantly move the Democratic Party in the direction of working class people and address their needs. But I got to be very clear, Trump and the Republicans are a lot worse.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has been on a 3-day swing through Texas, including rallies in San Antonio and Austin. When we come back from the break, America First. It was the rallying cry to keep the United States out of World War II. Now it's back with the MAGA movement. The Source continues. Stay with us.